Screen as well, but Matthew chapter 22 and Luke chapter 10 are a couple of the passages that we're going to look at today. We've been in this series called Identity, and we're looking at the number ones today. And I know that we have several in the house, so we're going to go ahead and point you out, the ones that have taken the test. You know who you are. Carrie, back in the sound booth, Jennifer Hawkins, and Clark Calloway that I know of. There may be, and Wes back here, okay, so we got two guys and two ladies that I know of that are in the house today. So you're the reformer, also known as the perfectionist. And this has been a series that we started at the first of the year, this series, and I love, my dad and I were talking about this morning, is, you know, we get saved, we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then what happens is this process, and the biblical word for it is sanctification, and it just means it's how we team up with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work on us. Amen? And so this is really a teaching about partnering with the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit work with us on how God wired us, how God, you know, our identities, our DNA, how he made us. And so that's what this whole series is about. So it's a work on us. If you've never heard of the word Enneagram, Ennea is the Greek word for nine. And then, because we're talking about nine personalities, and the gram is a graph, and I'll show you the graph here in just a little bit. But this teaching actually has its roots in the Catholic Church. And by the way, we can learn from all denominations, amen? There's Christians in every denomination. This has been a very eye-opening teaching, this book. If you're a reader like me, you can get this book called The Road Back to You, An Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. I encourage you to get it. It goes in more in depth than what I'm doing here on a Sunday morning. I'm just kind of hitting the highlights of each one of these personalities. But the word, the Greek word for personality comes from the word persona, which means mask. And like I said, that traces this teaching back to the Catholic Church. And what this teaching does is it helps you understand who you are, helps you understand how God made you. But then it also, if you're not a one today and you're like, well, I'm not a one, I need to leave. No, you don't, because you're going to learn how to, Mark doesn't need to leave today, Mark Ward, because Jennifer doesn't need to leave today, because you're going to learn how to relate to your spouse. You also are going to learn how to relate to people that you work with, because you're going to encounter ones as you come along. I'm a nine, by the way. I'm a peacemaker. So, this is going to be fun. We've been having fun. Haven't we been having fun doing this? This is going to be a lot of fun this morning because we're learning about the ones. A little bit of background about the Enneagram. There's been people using this for years. Companies and organizations like Motorola, the Oakland A's baseball team, the CIA, clergy from the Vatican, among many others, have used it to help their people find more joy in their work. Even Stanford University and Georgetown University's business schools have included it in their curriculums, and many Fortune 500 companies use it. How I learned about it was I go every month. We have a coaching group in Oklahoma City with a group of pastors, and one of my pastor buddies is, he's been here before, is Cody Anderson from Meno at Faith Center Fellowship in Meno, and they have five kids, and he said, what happened was we encountered a situation in our family where I didn't know how to talk to my child. And he said, Amy and I, his wife is Amy, said we just couldn't relate to him. And because I was trying to make him like me, she was trying to make him like her, and we were all just butting heads. And he said, hey, I finally said, you know what, I need counseling. How many of you know that counseling is a strength, okay? They went and got counseling. The counselor, somehow he found out about this book, the Enneagram. And he said it was eye-opening, and he said it began to help us to relate to our child. And then he thought, you know what, I need to bring this to the entire church, and he did that. And so he was the one that told me about this book, and it's been very eye-opening for me too. And so if you're in Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to kind of give a review real quick here of what we've been learning. This has been our foundational scriptures for this teaching. And in Matthew chapter 22 in verses 36 through 40, it says, a Pharisee came to Jesus saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus pretty much summed up all 10 commandments in two there. Actually, there's three there. And we're going to see that here in just a second. And he says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So here are the three. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Number two is to love yourself. He slips that in there, even though he says there was two commandments. There's actually three there. Love yourself, because we can't love others until we know how to love ourselves. And then the third is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're getting into this. We've been teaching this, and we've been laughing and crying because we're talking about the good, bad, and ugly of every personality. So what I want you to do is always maintain a compassionate stance toward yourself as God does. Self-contempt or self-hate will never produce lasting healing change in our lives. Only love will. Okay? So look at somebody and say, I love you. Look at somebody and say, I love you. All right, love you. All right, here's the nine personality types. Kind of catching you up if you haven't been here. These are the ones that we're looking at today, the number ones, the perfectionist or the reformer. These people are, and I'm telling you, the healthy part of them right here. They are ethical, dedicated, and reliable. They are motivated by a desire to live the right way, improve the world, and avoid fault and blame. Number two is the helper. A helper is warm, caring, and giving. They are motivated by a need to be loved and needed and to avoid acknowledging their own needs. Number three is the performer or the achiever. Success-oriented, image-conscious, and wired for productivity. They are motivated by a need to be or appear to be successful and to avoid failure. Number four are the romantic or the individualist. They are creative, sensitive, and moody. They are motivated by a need to be understood, experience their oversized feelings, and avoid being ordinary. Number five are the investigators. They are analytical, detached, and private. They are motivated by a need to gain knowledge, conserve energy, and avoid relying on others. Number six are the loyalists. They are committed, practical, and witty. They are worst-case scenario thinkers who are motivated by fear and the need for security. Number sevens are the enthusiasts. They are fun, spontaneous, and adventurous. They are motivated by a need to be happy, to plan stimulating experiences, and avoid pain. Number eights are the challengers. They are commanding, intense, and confrontational. They are motivated by a need to be strong and avoid feeling weak or vulnerable. We talked about that on our first identity. Challenger, a good challenger in society today is our president, President Trump. Number nine are the peacemakers. They're pleasant, laid back, and accommodating. They're motivated by a need to keep the peace, merge with others, and avoid conflict. So those are the nine personalities that are on the Enneagram. And then you can split up this Enneagram into three different groups. And so we're in the what they call the gut triad, which are the eight, nines, and ones. And these numbers are driven by anger. That's their core sin, by the way. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Eights externalize it. They blow up, okay? Nines forget about it, and ones internalize it, which that's none of them are healthy, okay? All right, we're going to talk about that. They take in and respond to life instinctually or at the gut level. They tend to express themselves honestly and directly. Then starting next week, because we're on the eight, nines, and ones, we're on the ones today, we're going to go into the, not next week, but the week after next Sunday, the feeling or the heart triad. These are the twos, threes, and fours. If you're a two, three, or four, raise your hands. Okay, we got one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, we got several. All right, these are the numbers are driven by feelings. Twos focus outwardly on the feelings of others. Threes have trouble recognizing their own or other people's feelings. And fours concentrate their attention inwardly on their own feelings. They each take in and relate to life from their heart and are more image conscious than other numbers. Then we're going to talk about the fear or the head triad, which are the fives, the six, and the sevens. How many of them are in the house? Five, six, and sevens. Okay, we got several of those as well. These numbers are driven by fear. Five externalizes it, six internalizes it, and seven forgets it. They take in and relate to the world through the mind, and they tend to think and plan carefully before they act, all right? There are times when your personality is in a healthy space. There's times when it's in an okay space, or there's times when it's downright nuts and crazy, all right, which means talking about unhealthy. And there is the good, the bad, and the ugly in each personality. And let me say this, each personality can be a jerk, all right? And so what we're trying to do is cast the jerk out of all of us and get more of Jesus in us, all right? And you're going to learn your wing number. We'll talk about that here in this in a little bit, stress and your security numbers. And if you're sitting there going, what are we talking about today, Pastor Mark? Well, you need to take the Your Enneagram coach.com, and I'll share that here in a little bit later, okay? You got to take that test to find out what your number one personality is. But what we're also going to learn about is Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So nobody in here is perfect. There's only one perfect one, and that's Jesus. And I love what Richard Rohr, who's a teacher on the Enneagram, what he said about sins. He said, "Sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life, which is God's love, from flowing freely. They are self-erected blockades that cut us off from God and hence from our own authentic potential." And so we're going to learn how to expose that sin and let God's light come in and change us. And how we do that is through this. I'm sorry, I didn't have that slide up there for you. The true purpose of the Enneagram is to reveal to you your shadow side and offer spiritual counsel on how to open it to the transformative light of God's grace. We must partner with the Holy Spirit to be the best us. Amen? And so we need the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives in every identity and every personality, and that's Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Every personality needs the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Amen? Okay, we all need the Holy Spirit. And so this is a teaching on allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives after you get saved. And here's ones, I'm going to tell you your core sins for each personality. Ones, it's anger. And so ones feel a compulsive need to perfect the world and keenly aware that neither they nor anyone else can live up to their impossibly high standards. They experience anger in the form of smoldering resentment. And we're going to talk about that today. We don't want that to happen. Number twos are pride. Twos direct all their attention and energy toward meeting the needs of others while disavowing having any of their own. Their secret belief that they alone know what's best for others and that they're an indispensable reveals their prideful spirit. Number threes is deceit. Threes value appearance over substance, abandoning their true selves to project a false, crowd-pleasing image. Threes buy their own performance and deceive themselves into believing they are their own persona. And then fours are envy. Fours believe they are missing something essential without which they will never be complete. They envy what they perceive to be the wholeness and happiness of others. Let me tell you, Facebook is that's everybody's highlight reel. I hope everybody understands that, right? Okay? We all have issues and problems and things. Number fives is greed. Fives hoard those things they believe will ensure that they can live an independent, self-sustaining existence. This withholding ultimately leads to their holding back love and affection from others. Sixes is fear, forever imagining worst-case scenarios and questioning their ability to handle life on their own. Sixes turn to authority figures and belief systems rather than God to provide them with the support and security they yearn for. Sevens is gluttony. To avoid painful feelings, sevens gorge themselves on positive experiences, planning and anticipating new adventures, and entertaining interesting ideas. Never satisfied, the seven's frenzied pursuit of these distractions eventually escalates to the point of gluttony. Number eights are lust. Eights lust after intensity. It can be seen in the excessiveness they evidence in every area of life, domineering and confrontational. Eights present a hard, intimidating exterior to mask vulnerability. And then nines, here's my spirit animal. I'm a nine. We laugh about this. My spirit animal is the sloth. For nines, sloth refers not to physical but to spiritual laziness. Nines fall asleep to their own priorities, personal development, and responsibility for becoming their own person. So those are the nine core sins of each personality, okay? And now we're going to get into today's teaching. That's the introduction, by the way, all right? So now we're going to get in, and this is the Enneagram. This is the graph. Let's just talk about, since we're on the perfectionist today, we're going to talk about the ones. And so you see those two lines going down. One's going over to the seven, another one's going over to the four, all right? And as a one, your wing is a peacemaker and a helper. And so when you're healthy, your counterpart or your wingman, so to speak, is a peacemaker and a helper. When you have your wings out there and you're a perfectionist, you're very healthy. You're helping people. You're a peacemaker. You're a reformer, all right? Here's the deal. When you're stressed out, how many stressed out ones? No, you don't have to raise your hands. If you're a stressed out one, what happens is you go to the, and this is where the Enneagram, where it goes down to the four, the romantic or the individualist, you become unhealthy and you go to the unhealthy side of a four, which means your inner critic begins working overtime and their need to perfect the world goes into overdrive. They become more resentful of others having fun, more sensitive to criticism, and depressed. They don't want responsibilities. They lose confidence and they feel unlovable. That's what happens when you go over to the unhealthy side of a four. Now, I want to tell you something that I gleaned out of the book for you ones. Because everyone has this. Everyone, number one, has this, has an inner critic. And I think we all do. I think every personality does. But if you're a one, a perfectionist, it's amplified, the one, this inner critic that you have. It's an inner voice constantly telling you that you're not perfect and you don't measure up and comparing and all that kind of stuff. And it can get over into being very unhealthy if you let that voice keep talking very long. And so one of the things that they pointed out in the book, and I thought that was really good, it said it's healthy to give your inner critic a name so that you can tell it to shut up in Jesus' name. And so and this guy used two names in the book. He said this one lady called her inner critic Cruella. And so she would tell Cruella to shut up. Cruella, it's time to calm down and you need to shut up. One lady said, I named mine Ratchet. I told Ratchet to shut up. And so I thought, well, we got guys in here too that are one. So there's movie critics out there called Siskel and Ebert. So you maybe want to name yours Siskel or Ebert and just tell Siskel, hey, Siskel, shut up. But that inner critic, and it's healthy to do that because you recognize that's not who I am. That's not how God hardwired me. That's not my identity. You need to stop that voice. Because that's actually the voice of the enemy coming through that. But in a one, your inner critic is amplified, even more so than other personalities. And so you have to recognize that. So here's top 10 statements of a reformer or a perfectionist. We do this every Sunday. We do the top 10 of every identity or personality. Number one, people have told me I can be overly critical and judgmental. Number two, I beat myself up when I make mistakes. Number three, I don't feel comfortable when I try to relax. There's so much to be done. Number four, I don't like it when people ignore or break the rules. Number five, details are important to me. Number six, if I say I will do it, then I will do it. I think it is my responsibility to leave the world in a better place than I found it. Number eight, I have a lot of self-discipline. Number nine, forgiveness is hard for me. Number 10, I'm really disappointed when other people don't do their work. Does that sound like a one? I can tell you, Carrie, that Mark's over here just grinning from ear to ear. All right. Good thing you're not up here getting elbows today. All right, here's in Luke chapter 10, I found two people in Scripture that are a one. And I'm going to show you, and each one of them is an unhealthy one. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this is Martha. It says, now it happened as they went in, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was a nine, by the way. Verse 40, that's a joke. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And in verse 41 says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. All right? This perfectionist was up. Just everything has to be perfect. The reformer, everything has to be perfect. And the nine, Mary, is sitting at Jesus' feet and just soaking it up. And the number one is gets upset because Mary is not doing her job. All right? And I love what, Carrie asked me this morning, because I know Carrie's a one, and she asked me this morning, she goes, Pastor Mark, what's my spirit animal, since your spirit animal is a sloth? And I said, well, this chapter never really talked about an animal, and Carrie goes, I think it's a jackrabbit. And I was like, yeah, that describes Martha really well, the jackrabbit, just up, just busy, busy, busy. Now, I'm going to show you another picture of a one in Scripture, and it's Martha again. And this is in John chapter 11. She bounces Jesus out, by the way. John chapter 11, verses 20 through 21, it says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming," this is after their brother Lazarus has passed away, "so she went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house." Mary didn't go. See, Mary's a nine. She's just sitting in the recliner. Verse 21 says, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died.'" That's a one. She's bouncing out Jesus. So ones, be careful in your prayer life. You can bounce out the Lord. And he's okay with it because he understands how he wired you. And he's okay with it. And he'll talk to you about it. All right, I'm going to show you a guy in Scripture that's an unhealthy one. All right. And this is in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I'm just going to highlight the part in there where you see him, his unhealthiness. And it's in verses 28 through 30. If you don't know this story, his brother, there was two sons. A lot of us forget that, the prodigal son, but there's actually two sons. One of the sons asked for his inheritance early, and he went out and spent it on prostitutes and wild living and all kinds of stuff, and then he comes back home. And so in verse 28, it says, "But he was angry," talking about the older brother, "and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Dad, these many years I've been here serving you, and I've never transgressed your commandment at any time.'" And he's saying, "I've always done what's right, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," okay, he didn't even acknowledge him as his brother, "came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And so there you go. There's an unhealthy one. And he refused. Here, I'm going to tell you about an unhealthy one. He was saying, "I'm right. My son's, you know, my brother's wrong, and you ought to punish him, and you ought to reward me." And his dad's saying, "But you ought to come to the party." And here's what I want to tell you, ones. Ones, sometimes you just need to relax and go to the party. Look at a one and say, "It's time to party." It's time to party. This is when you're unhealthy, okay? This is when you get over, I'm talking about the unhealthy side of a one, all right, with those two passages of Scripture. Now, here's our Roman numerals that we're going to start in. This is all about ones, which are the reformers and the perfectionists. Ones have a high expectations of others and themselves. Ones are terrified of making a mistake, and ones get the job done. At their best, ones are ethical, reliable, productive, wise, idealistic, conscientious, honest, orderly, and self-disciplined. At their worst, ones are judgmental, inflexible, dogmatic, critical of others, uptight, controlling, anxious, jealous, and fixed on imperfection. And here's their core need is to be perfect and right. And so they can be very critical to their children and to their spouses. Nobody's looking around here. I've been waiting all week to say this one. They should on people. You should do this, and you should have done it this way. All right, if you're sitting by one, look at him and say, "Don't should on me." I've been waiting all week to say that one. All right, I just gave you some ammunition if you live with a one. All right. Their core sin is anger. Now, this is your core sin. Anger, God gets angry. It's an emotion that God gave us, and it can help you ones in your reformation when you're reforming something. But left unchecked and left unhealthy, it can be detrimental to you. And so the core sin is anger. And Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 is your scripture here. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." That's good for all of us, no matter what your personality is. But for a one, you really need to pay attention to that scripture, because God doesn't want you going to bed angry. And he wants you to get it taken care of that day and, you know, pray about it, get it taken care of, resolve whatever you need to do, because he doesn't want you to go to bed angry, because it can come out in your life through sickness and disease, all right? And we don't want that. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." All right? Their core fear is being flawed. One's favorite scripture is this, Matthew 5:48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I want you to remind you, ones, that the word perfect in the scripture is translated, which means whole and complete. It means being healthy. All right? All right, how many of you think that you have a one as a child? Anybody in here think you have a one as a child? We know we do. Amen. We have a one as a child. All right. Ones as children. Jade and I are both nines with two. I have two as well. And it was so funny because last Sunday we were back here at the back and Taya was like, okay, Dad, if you're a nine, Mom's a nine and a two, then how in the world did y'all get together and make a one, which is her? And Dad, my dad was standing right there and says, because they needed somebody to tell them what to do. I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. Couldn't have worded it any better. So this is ones as children here, if you have a one. A wounding childhood message is this: it's not okay to make mistakes. Don't ever, if your child is a one, that's a no-no. Do not, that can wound them. And I want to give you, that came out in this book, so I'm going to pass it along. A good children's book, if you have a child that's a one, is Nobody's Perfect, a story for children about perfectionism. A type one child has a strong desire to do good in the world and do the right thing. They will try hard to please you, but they will be hard on themselves. As they get older, self-criticism will emerge as criticism towards you. And so you need to try to hear this as your child's way of loving you. All right? Now, here's some other things about ones as children. You need to help your child to learn that it's okay not to get everything right. We often learn through trial and error and our mistakes. I can tell you about Taya. If you're a teacher, and I know Carrie is a teacher, if you're a teacher, and if you have a child coming to you at school and they're constantly coming up to your desk, teacher, do I have it right? Am I doing this right? I can almost promise you that child, of girl or boy, is a one. That's the way Taya would do with every one of her teachers. She did that in school here. She did it in college. And then as she got older and mature, as she took tests, she would go, I don't want to say bounce out her professors, but she would go talk to them and say, why did I get this one wrong? She was like, I think it could be either one of these answers. And she even had some professors change the score for her. I'm serious. She's a one, man. She was in their face. Isn't that right, babe? I mean, she was constantly, and was like, okay, Taya, just, you know, and she would do it in the right spirit and the right heart, but she wanted to know, why did I get this wrong? And that's a one for you. Here's another one. Take your child seriously. They have much to contribute to the life of your family. Something that we had started doing just as Taya's gotten older. This last, we went on a little family ski trip together. We let her plan the vacation. She loved it. That's right up her alley. I can just relax as a nine. She's the one and planning out our days for us. And of course, it was a little monotonous that sometimes, Dad, we got to be up at nine. We got to be ready by nine to get to the slopes. I'm like, Dad can sleep in till 10 if he wants. I can go to the slope anytime I want. But it wasn't working with her. So she planned our vacation out. Honor your child when they give generously of themselves to make the world a better place. And help your child to learn self-compassion through modeling it yourself. I'm going to tell you a couple of funny stories on Taya. One of them was, and a lot of people don't know this, you see her up here on Sunday morning singing, and yes, that is a God-given gift that she has. But, my gosh, she would wear Jade and I out whenever people would ask her to sing the national anthem. She'd be at the house singing it 100 times in front of the mirror, you know, making sure she got every note right. I'm just like, let it go. Taya, you can sing it. You got it, you know. I mean, and it was good for us. In parenting, it was good that we never had to make sure homework was done or anything. That's a good thing about having a one as a child. We never had to worry about that. I mean, she was wanting to excel at everything that she did. But sometimes, like, and then when I played baseball, I was a catcher, and so she was a pitcher all throughout high school and into college. And so she would always use me, I had to catch her. And warming up before games, this girl, me and her would get into arguments before a game because I'm like, Taya, honey, you have just pitched two games to me warming up. It's time to go play, you know. Let's stop, you know. And she was like, Dad, I can't stop until I throw a strike, until each pitch, every pitch that she had like four pitches, each one's got to be a strike. And I'm like, no. Throw me a fastball right down the gut, and then you go out there and get on. You know? I'm just like, it's over. I'm going to stop. There's times I'd say, I'm stopping catching. You're loose. And she's like, no, I'm not, Dad. I'm like, yes, you are. You're loose. You have just pitched two games to me right here, and you're loose. That's a one for you. And another one, talking about don't get on to your child if they're a one. don't call them out when they make a mistake. Oh boy, I did this in college, and I'm sitting up in the stands watching one of my pet peeves is when you strike out looking. All right, and so she struck out looking, and she had runners in scoring position. And I hollered out and hollered at her. I said probably everything except you suck, okay? And she was ticked off, and she was DH in this game. And so I'm sitting up in the stands, and I'm sitting up here in the stands like this. And there's her dugout over there. And all of a sudden I hear this. I hear dad, psst, dad. And she's hollering at me from the back of the dugout. And she goes like that. And I'm going to tell you what, I was scared because I thought she was going to kick my butt. I mean, she can do it. And scared the living daylights out of me. And I felt bad, too, and I apologized to her after the game. But she bounced me out about it, like, don't ever do that again. All right. So there's your ones as children. All right, here's number three, ones in relationships. Perfectionism is a defense mechanism against connecting with others, and you've got to watch that, all right? You must put down your shield and be vulnerable to have meaningful relationships. And here you go, Carrie. Let your 7 and your 9 friends help you learn how to relax and have fun. And I'm picking on them today. They're my guinea pigs today because Mark is a 7. The work will be there tomorrow. It's time to have fun today. Let your 7 and your 9 friends help you learn how to relax and have fun. And so there's Mark and Carrie. All right, here's a Roman numeral number 4, ones at work. Ones make great lawyers, judges, politicians, military personnel, law enforcement officers, and teachers. Carrie's a teacher. I'm just talking about different ones. And the ones that I knew that were ones before today was Jennifer Hawkins had told me she was a one. Well, she was at the Capitol this week. You know, so there you go. Ones at work. If you want someone, this is awesome. If you want someone who is efficient, ethical, meticulous, reliable, and does the work of two people, then hire a healthy one. Amen. And I can honestly say that in our church, the ones that have raised their hands do a whole lot here in our church behind the scenes, and they are healthy ones. Now, an unhealthy one can wreak havoc on an organization because they think they're right and everybody else is wrong and they're judging and critical of everybody. Rut-row, that's not a fun environment to work in. And you may have worked in an environment like that. But a healthy one, my gosh, they can do the work of two people and they can do a lot. All right, here's the last point of today is spiritual transformation. If you're a one, then you believe the only way you'll know peace on the inside is if you perfect everything on the outside. And let me tell you, that is not true. That's false. You're imperfect, and you need to remind yourself of that, and you're wired for struggle, but you're worthy of love and belonging. That's a healthy message for a one. And so this is for Mark today and Jennifer, because I know Clark's a one. All the one. How do you love a reformer and a perfectionist? Thank them for the desire to make sure things are right and remind them how incredible they are. Remind them a person does not need to be perfect to be good. The message their heart longs to hear all the time is you are good. And remind them, just like the story in Luke chapter 15, remind them to come to the party to enjoy life. They need to enjoy life a little bit more. When a one is really healthy is when they are on vacation. I'm telling you, that's when ones, if you want to go on a vacation with a one, because that's when they're going to let their hair down, they're going to have fun, and they're going to have a good time because they're getting away from life and everything. But you need to remind them, hey, bring a little bit of vacation into normal everyday life and have fun with it. All right, here's the last thing is I wanted to put that up there so you can have it for those of you that haven't seen this, yourenneagramcoach.com. And please remember, this tool is not to define you with a label, but rather to make you more aware of why you do the things that you do and how to relate to God and how to relate to other people as well, because this is how God hardwired you. So did everybody learn something today? Amen. Yes, and we have the Thank you, Betty. We have the pages back there for a quick guide to the Enneagram, and also we have some copies of parenting in the Enneagram too as well. So those are back there at the resource table. Betty can get you a copy of that. And please get signed up for the XO Marriage Conference that's coming up this weekend. We're going to have a good time. And I just want everybody, now we'll go ahead and dismiss, but I want everybody to bow your heads this morning. And I'm going to lead us in a few prayers. And the first one is, I always do this every Sunday because I don't know, you know, everybody that's going to be here, and also those that are watching this online and those that are listening to this on the radio. But just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. And Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, you didn't join a church. You joined the family of God, all right? And so your very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. All you got to do, that's a heated baptistry. Get with me, and we can get that filled up and get you baptized next Sunday. That's your next step of obedience. And now I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Did everybody learn something today? Amen. Learn how to relate to one, work with the one. And I thank God for the healthy ones that we have in this church. I really do. I could go on and on and on. I mean, when Carrie does a lot here, I'm just going to brag on Carrie. She's back there in the sound booth right now. She helps out in children's ministry, youth. I mean, she'll do anything. That's one thing about a one. They will help anywhere you need help because that's one of their wings is the help, and they're great help. And so, Carrie, I appreciate you. I appreciate Jennifer Hawkins, too, because she helps out on Wednesday nights with our youth and feeding them. I appreciate Clark back there because whenever there's things that need to be done around here on the outside, I call Clark. And I know I'm not going to have to follow up. They're going to get done. And so I give our ones a hand clap. I want to brag on our ones today. But, Jada, will you come up here and join me? Now, we're going to speak a blessing over you today. And this blessing comes out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, when God commanded Moses, said, I want you to speak a blessing over the children of Israel. And so we have been grafted in, amen. Yes. We're all children of God today, just like that song we sang during praise and worship. And this is a blessing, and this blessing out of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26 has kind of been expanded. I found this, and I really like it. And so I do this every Sunday to speak a blessing over us. There's power in the spoken blessing. Amen. You need to do that over your marriage and over your children and over your business. Do that every day. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go hug a one and tell them how much you appreciate them.